Sarvate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In this chapter, the character of Maharaj Agnidra is described. When Maharaj Priyabrat went off for spiritual realization, his son Agnidra became the ruler of Jambudvip. In accordance with Maharaj Priyabrat's instructions and maintained its residence with the same affection a father feels for his sons. Once Maharaj Agnidra desired to have a son, and therefore he entered a cave of Mandara Mountain to practice austerity. Understanding his desire, Lord Brahma sent a celestial girl named Purvaschiti to Agnidra's hermitage. After dressing herself very attractively, she presented herself before him with various feminine movements, and Agnidra was naturally attracted to her. The girl's actions, expressions, smiles, sweet words, and moving eyes were fascinating to him. Agnidra was expert in flattery. Thus he attracted the celestial girl, who was pleased to accept him as her husband because of his mellifluous words. She enjoyed royal happiness with Agnidra for many years before returning to her abode in the heavenly planets. In her womb, Agnidra begot 9 sons, Nabhi, Kimpurush, Hardivarsh, Ilavrita, Ramyaka, Hiranyamaya, Kuru, Bhadrasva, and Ketumala. He gave them 9 islands with names corresponding to theirs. Agnidra, however, his senses unsatisfied, was always thinking of his celestial wife, and therefore in his next life he was born in her celestial planet. After the death of Agnidra, his 9 sons married 9 daughters of Meru, named Meru Devi, Pratirup, Ugra, Amstri, Lata, Ramya, Shamya, Nadi, Bhadra, and Devaviti. Text number 1. Sri Sukuvacha evam pitari samvrite tad anushasane vartmana agnidro jambudvipaukasha praja anurasvad dharma vekshamana prayo payat. The word for word responsively. Sri Sukuvacha, Sri Sukadeva Goswami Uvacha said evam, thus pitari, when his father sampavrite took to the path of liberation. Tat anusasane, according to his order. Vartamanaha, situated. Agnidraha, King Agnidra. Jambudvip Akshaha, the inhabitants of Jambudvip. Prajaha, citizens. Anurasvat, as if they were his sons. Dharma, religious principles. Avikshamanaha, strictly observing. Praya Gopayat, completely protected. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after his father, Maharaj Priyabrat, departed to follow the path of spiritual life by undergoing austerities, King Agnidra completely obeyed his order. Strictly observing the principles of religion, he gave full protection to the inhabitants of Jambudvip as if they were his own begotten sons. Following the instruction of his father, Maharaj Priyabhat, Maharaj Agnidra ruled the inhabitants of Jambudvip according to religious principles. These principles are exactly contrary to the modern principles of faithlessness. As clearly stated here, the king protected the citizens the way a father protects his begotten children. How he ruled the citizens is also described here, dharma vekshamanaha, strictly according to religious principles. It is the duty of the executive head of a state to see that the citizens strictly follow religious principles. The Vedic religious principles begin with Vanashram Dharma, the duties of the four Varnas and the four Ashrams. Dharma refers to principles given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first principle of Dharma, or religion, is to observe the duties of the four orders as enjoined by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to people's qualities and activities, society should be divided into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and then again into Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. These are religious principles, and it is the duty of the head of state to see that his citizens strictly follow them. He should not merely act officially. He should be like a father who's always a well-wisher of his sons. Such a father strictly observes whether his sons are performing their duties, and sometimes he also punishes them. Just contrary to the principles mentioned here, the presidents and chief executives in the age of Kali are simply tax collectors who do not care whether the religious principles are observed. Indeed, the chief executives of the present day introduce all kinds of sinful activity, especially illicit sex, intoxication, animal killing, and gambling. These sinful activities are now very prominently manifested in India. Although 100 years ago, these four principles of sinful life were strictly prohibited in the families of India, they have now been introduced into every Indian family. Therefore, they cannot follow religious principles. In contrast to the principles of the kings of old, the modern state is concerned only with propaganda for levying taxes and is no longer responsible for the spiritual welfare of the citizens. The state is now callous to religious principles. Srimad Bhagavatam predicts that in Kali Yuga, the government will be entrusted with Dashu Dharma, which means the occupational duty of rogues and thieves. Modern heads of state are rogues and thieves who plunder the citizens instead of giving them protection. Rogues and thieves plunder without regard for law. But in this age of Kali, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the lawmakers themselves plunder the citizens. The next prediction to be fulfilled, which is already coming to pass, is that because of the sinful activities of the citizens and the government, rain will become increasingly scarce. Gradually, there will be complete drought and no production of food grains. People will be reduced to eating flesh and seeds, and many good spiritually inclined people will have to forsake their homes because they will be too harassed by drought, taxation, and famine. The Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope to save the world from such devastation. It is the most scientific and authorized movement for the actual welfare of the whole human society. So, we see here a very powerful purport of Srila Prabhupada predicting the condition that will happen in the world. And as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, it's already coming to pass. The production of food will become more and more scarce. Every day we see the prices on such simple commodities like vegetables, right? Prices are going up, right? According to the law of supply and demand, when the supply is more, what happens? The prices go down. When the supply is less, right, and the demand is more, the prices go up. Right? So when the prices get high for sabji, fruits, etc., that means there's more demand, there's less supply. Production in the field depends upon rain. Without water, there's no question of producing anything. You may have the most fertile land, but if there's no water, what is the use? Can you grow anything? Can't grow anything. So where does the rain come from? The rain comes from Krishna, comes from God. Recently, in the situation where the Russian court was trying to ban the Bhagavad Gita, it came in the Times of India newspaper, and there were many comments by people. So one comment was that because the parliament had made a statement that the Russian government should get involved and not let the court ban the Bhagavad Gita, one person was commenting, why is the government wasting their time with this? They should see to the economy, right? It's the government's business to see to the economy. So after reading that, someone replied, someone who must have been a devotee, someone replied, the government can't do anything about the economy. The economy depends on rain, and rain comes from God. Right? Rain comes from God, so therefore the economy is in the hands of God. And we should put ourselves in the hands of God. Must have been a devotee, right? But that comment got appreciated by so many persons who were reading that tree of comments. So that's the situation. Anad bhavati bhutani parjanyad anasambhavaha. All living bodies subsist on food grains, and food grains come from rain. Rain comes about by performance of yajna, or sacrifice. And the sacrifice in this age is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We see that Priyabrata Maharaj, following the instructions of his superiors, he managed the government, right? And he entered into household life. Right? But later on, due to his training and due to the association that he had with Narad Muni, therefore when the time came, he could renounce household life. He could renounce his government responsibilities. Just the opposite today. If you look at the parliament, it's like an old folks' home, right? All old people hoping to be prime minister, right? 80 years old, still hoping against hope they'll get the big post, right? But we see the example of these great kings, emperors of the whole world, unquestioned power. They didn't even have to draw their sword. If they just put their hand on their sword, everyone would come in line. Right? So powerful. Yet, when the time came, realizing the actual purpose of life, they walked away from it all. Manu was hoping that Priyabrat would take the reins of the government and manage things properly. And because Narada Muni was preaching to him, he was worried that he would become a brahmachari and join the temple. But Lord Brahma intervened and preached to Priyabrat to take up the responsibilities. And he did. On the order of his superiors, he did that service. He entered into household life. So when he took up those responsibilities, Manu was relieved, right? He was relieved that there was a proper person to take responsibility, and now he could focus on spiritual development, right? And then we see Priyabrat Maharaj, when the time came, he left everything to his sons, and he went off to execute devotional service. So this is the example. Not that one sticks to materialistic household life all his life, right? Or that one gets a post in whatever it is, the government or some spiritual institution, and then just hangs on to that, right? As if it's everything. Thinking that if I don't have this post, then I'm dead. I'm dead. What will I do if I don't have a post? Right? That's not the example that we see from these great kings and from the spiritual personalities that we're reading about in Srimad Bhagavatam. So one might say, well, Prabhuji, I'm not very advanced. Right? But we just have this one lifetime to become advanced. And so much of the time is already being wasted, Prahlad Maharaj says. Think about it. When we sleep at night, how many hours go? For non-devotees, it's more like about 8, right? For devotees, it's 6, right? If they're sick, maybe it's 7. But at karmis, it's 8, full, sure. And on Sunday, maybe 10 or 12. So out of a 24 hours in a day, right? 8 hours goes in sleeping. So 1/3 of your life already gone, wasted in sleeping. And the rest of it, as a child, playing, right? Then household life, so many responsibilities and duties. And then old age, nothing works, can't hear, can't see, right? All the joints, pain, right? Can't work so well. So how much time is left? Right? Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, from an early age, from 5 years old, one should begin to execute devotional service. However, we see that in the modern society, devotional service is not only encouraged, it's not encouraged, it's discouraged. And what is encouraged? A life of sense gratification. We see that the although Priyabrat Maharaj was in household life, at the same time, due to his Krishna consciousness, he wasn't bewildered by that. His real focus was on service to the Supreme Lord. So that's the process of devotional service. To engage the senses, but to engage the senses in the service of Krishna. Now, in order for the mass of society to be properly situated, Srila Prabhupada talks here about Vanashram Dharma. So society is meant to be divided in four varnas, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and each has a responsibility to perform, duties to perform. The Brahmins are there to teach society. Patan, Pajan, Yajan, Gyan, Patigraha. They study Vedic Shastras, they teach the Vedic Shastras, right? So this was the duty of the Brahmins. Brahmins guided society in so many different ways. They knew everything. They learned from the Vedic literatures. All about the science of everything is there. Even atomic energy science is in the Vedic literatures. So the householders, they would send their children to the Brahmins, and the Brahmins would teach them and would divide the children according to their qualities. This was the actual duty of the guru. Originally, all the gurus were householders. Sannyasis weren't gurus in the Vedic system. The householders were gurus, because they had the facility to engage the children according to their propensities. If they were brahminical, they would engage them in deity worship. If they were kshatriya type, they would teach them to do weaponry, how to use weapons. Like Dronacharya, he taught the Pandavas and the Kurus how to use weapons. So everything was taught by the Brahmins. And when the children came to the Brahmins, they would bring something from the home. Some rice, some sabji, some production from the field. And children would give it as dakshin to the Brahmins. So what would the Brahmins do with this? They would collect it all. They would prepare it, right? And offer it to the Shalagram Shila, Vishnu, and then they would take some portion for themselves, and the rest they would distribute as prasadam. Right? At the end of the day, the balance, zero. Right? Everything distributed. Why? Because they were fully dependent on the Lord, and they knew, the Brahmins, that's what it means to be Brahmin, means to be dependent on God. They knew that whatever came today was by the arrangement of the Lord, and whatever will come tomorrow, again, is by His arrangement. So why should I be worried? No anxiety. We see that the Brahmins were very detached. They lived very simply, right? Depending on Krishna and worshipping Lord Vishnu. That is the work of the Brahmins. And the Kshatriyas, those kings, they would be very brave. That's the quality of Kshatriyas, right? They are meant to protect the citizens. They felt it was their duty to follow the principles of Dharma and protect the citizens. Right? The praja. Protect those. Praja means those who have taken birth in the country. They are the praja. Not just the human beings, all the living entities that took birth. Right? Not that you keep the human beings very nicely and slaughter the cows. No. We see in the life of Maharaj Parikshit that when he was moving about his kingdom with his army, he saw a Shudra person dressed as a king beating a cow. And when he saw that, he immediately drew his sword to kill him, this person, Kali, the personification of Kali. So this is Kshatriya. They're ready for any challenge. If two Kshatriyas would fight, there would be some decision. And what would be that decision? The decision was someone would die. To kshatriya fight means someone would die. They're very brave, kshatriyas. But not only brave, but they followed the advice of the Brahmins. There was this very unique relationship between kshatriyas and Brahmins. Kshatriyas would rule the country, but under the direction of the Brahmins, who would give them advice on the basis of shastra. We see in the coronation of Lord Ramchandra, when he finally came from back to Ayodhya after being in exile, that he was going to take the throne. And at the coronation, he took his bath, ceremonial bath, with fresh cloth. He went to the arena. The Brahmins were performing the Vedic sacrifices. So just before he was crowned as the king of Ayodhya, Lord Ramchandra said, "My dear Brahmins, you take this land. Because you are the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should please accept this." And the Brahmin said, "My dear king, what would we do with this? How would we manage it? You please take it and you manage it properly on our behalf." So we can see the unique relationship. Both the king and the Brahmins, they recognize that the supreme controller, the supreme owner of everything, is the Supreme Lord. And that they're managing on his behalf. This is when the state can run properly. When the heads of state understand that their religious duty and their responsibility, and they treat the citizens just like their sons and daughters, right? And they see that they are performing their religious duties properly. But just the opposite today, Srila Prabhupada explains, the complete antithesis of this. The government doesn't give a fig about the citizens. Right? They're only interested in collecting taxes. They're not actually rulers, Prabhupada said. They're just tax collectors. They're the tax man. Right? They'll tax everything. If you try to walk, they'll tax your feet. If you try to sit, they'll tax your seat. Because they're the tax man. Right? That's all they're interested in, taxing. And big expenditure. Srila Prabhupada said that a monarchy was much cheaper because all you had to maintain was the king and his family. But in a democracy, you have so much representation, right? In the parliament, how many seats are there? 543 seats in the Lok Sabha. And in the Raj Sabha? 200 or so, right? Right. So what a difference, right? 219. Okay, there you go. So, much cheaper. Much more clear, right? When Maharaj Parikshit saw that Kali was beating the cow, he didn't have to go to the Supreme Court or the City Civil Court, the High Court, right? Immediately, justice. Finish him. Right? So there can't be proper management unless the persons that are leading are proper. Right? That's why when Srila Prabhupada, he was going to meet Indira Gandhi, unfortunately, there was some a threat on her life, so they didn't get an opportunity to meet. But Srila Prabhupada had made a couple of notes that he wanted to discuss with her. And on the notes was that everyone in the parliament should chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Thank you. Prabhupada even was suggesting that they do away with this so-called democracy that Prabhupada called demon crazy and install Sanjay Gandhi as a king, right, as a monarch. Right? So the system of government should be based on the dharmic principles. The government should encourage religious principles. Right? Whatever religion people profess to follow, they should follow it, whatever it is. Right? And that's a secular government, is that the government sees that the religion is followed, not that it doesn't involve itself. That everyone is allowed to be atheist. Right? You may be following Islam or Christianity, but you should actually follow. You should follow what the laws are of Christ or Islam. But the government is least involved. In the name of secular state, they allow the people to engage in all kinds of sinful activities. Rather, they encourage sinful activities. Previously, there was prohibition, right? No liquor. But then the government saw that people are drinking anyway, so we might as well allow them to drink, and we can charge taxes on the liquor, right? In the same way, they allow for gambling. They allow for all types of sinful activities. The government runs slaughterhouses. There was one other thing Srila Prabhupada wanted Indira Gandhi to immediately impose, was closing all the government-run slaughterhouses. Immediately. India is one of the biggest exporters of leather. How is that? It's not Ahimsa leather. Right? Even bigger than the United States and Argentina. Right? So who gets the reaction for all that sinful activity? If the government is sinful, who gets the reaction? Right? Who elects the government? So naturally, what the government does, the people can't blame the government, they elected them. Right? So the sinful reaction for all this sinful activity comes back to the people. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining, how will it come? There won't be water. Krishna will restrict the rain. And if there's no rain, there'll be no grains. No grains means no food. This will be the situation. But the government will still be there, so they'll want their taxes. So no food, heavy taxes, people will run to the forest. They'll run and hide in the mountains. Right? It's like when Srila Prabhupada went to the atheistic country of Russia, when it was communist Russia. He had a very difficult time to find any sabji. The only sabji he got was aloo. That's what the people had. Aloo, bread, and vodka. Such a hellish situation. I remember when the Russian devotees came to India for the first time, there was a big publicity. They came to Delhi, and from Delhi they went to Calcutta, the Russian devotees, right? But they were fascinated that anywhere you could get a banana. They saw bananas and they were like so excited. In India, we take bananas for granted. You know, oh, bananas. You know. There were some bananas. Right? So we have to know that due to the advancement of Kali Yuga, these things are going to come to pass. You know, you won't even get any fruit. Now we're offering such opulent fruit to Radha Ras Bihari, but the time will come, there won't be fruit, there won't be milk, nothing. I don't know if you ever seen, but you know what a pine cone tree is? They don't have them in the tropical, but if you go up in the Himalayas, you'll see pine trees. And on the pine tree grows a pine cone. You know what a pine cone is? You ever seen a pine cone? It's a hard wooden thing that grows on the pine tree. Pine trees are the trees with needles. They don't have leaves, they have needles. And they have what's called pine cones, right? So Srila Prabhupada was in America. He was walking in a pine forest, and he saw these pine cones. And he said that these pine cones, they were actually fruits in a previous age. But due to Kali, they're just these hard wooden things, right? So as Kali Yuga progresses, that's all you'll get. The fruits will disappear. There won't be milk. There won't be fresh sabjis, right? Due to the effect of the sinful activities that people are performing, right? So the only hope for humanity to stave off, to push away the effects of Kali Yuga is this Krishna consciousness movement. This is it. There's no other hope. And we have such a grave responsibility. Srila Prabhupada said that it shall be known down in history that ISKCON saved human world from extinction. It saved the world from catastrophe. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So birth in India is very rare. Right? One could have been born anyone, but being born in India is a very pious birth. Bharat. Taking birth in Bharat. But it has a responsibility. Those persons that have taken their birth in Bharat, they have a very strong responsibility. Srila Prabhupada was a perfect example of someone who accepted and carefully executed their responsibilities by spreading Krishna consciousness. One who's born in India has a responsibility to do good for others. Parupakar. Good works. And what are those good works? Right? One should go all over the world and do good works. Right? Not become, you know, computer programmers. Go all over the world and do computer programming. No. Travel all over the world and preach Krishna consciousness to save people from the suicide course that human society is on. This is the responsibility of everyone born in Bharat. Look at the example of what one man from India did, Srila Prabhupada said. Right? He started a revolution in consciousness. Bringing people into their original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So like that, we should follow his example and help people. People are suffering. They do not know how to become happy. Last night was the 31st of December 2011, bringing in the new calendar year. Right, 2012. So everybody was out trying to be happy, trying to look for happiness, and drinking, going to parties. Today, those people that were out last night drinking, going to the parties, they're not here in the Bhagavatam class. They're at home with a headache. They got a hangover. Oh, I can't believe I drank the whole thing. They're not happy. They're not happy. They're simply led around by others. This will make you happy. That will make you happy. And they just get pushed around this way and that way. They do not know how to become happy. Only the devotees of the Lord know how to become happy. Only the devotees of the Lord can guide people how to become happy. And that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. He wanted us all to become happy. He wanted the whole world to be happy. But there's a way to do it. It's not according to one's mental speculation or one's manodharma. Whatever I think, that will make me happy. No. It's according to the direction of Krishna. We have to follow Krishna's direction if we want to become happy. And very easily, the whole world can become happy and satisfied if they follow the direction of Krishna. So this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, all of the members have a great duty to perform. We have to make the whole world happy. That's our duty. We have to explain to them, oh my dear sir, you are very nice, you're a big businessman, very nice, you have so much prestige, it's very good, but just forget everything that you know and chant Hare Krishna. This is how we have to preach. Alright? If we try to take up this responsibility, Krishna will help us. Look at Priyabrat Maharaj. He made with his chariot the islands, right? By the wheels of his chariot. So how did he do that? He was empowered by Krishna. How could Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, cross a boat, have two heart attacks, and start the Krishna consciousness movement? How is it possible? Because Krishna empowered him. So we can all become empowered by Krishna according to our capacities to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And that will be our success. Right? To try to get people to chant, become devotees, inculcate Krishna consciousness in their lives. That will be the success of this movement, and it'll become our success, because by trying to help other persons, we ourselves will advance in Krishna consciousness. So, we see here in the life of King Agnidra that he took up the responsibility of managing the world after his father Priyabrat Maharaj went to the forest, and he carefully managed the citizens as they were his own sons, and managed everything according to Dharma, the principles of Dharma, establishing the Varnashram system. You know, this Varnashram system, we can say, well, we don't need it, we just need to chant Hare Krishna, and that's true. But Srila Prabhupada said, not everyone will chant, right? Not everyone will have the brain substance to understand that they should chant. So therefore we need Varnashram. But people will follow the different Varnas and ashrams carefully, then at least there can be peace in society. Without which, people are not even human beings. They're just two-legged animals. So that is why Varnashram is required. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yeah.
As you have stated that other than the our sampradaya, the Islamic or Christianity, if they follow their religion, they can perfect their life. But as far I can see that other than ISKCON or the four sampradayas, they are doing the more sinful activities. So how they can perfect their life? Or if they follow their religion?
Well, they can come to a certain stage, right? If they actually try to... I mean, some people are going... Their Prophet says, you know, the Quran, the Bible, those are the scriptures of the meat-eaters, right? And even in that, there's prescriptions for eating meat, right? Like in the Bible it says, you can eat meat, but you can't eat the blood, and you can't eat the fat. But what is meat? It's just blood and fat. So the idea is, it's a restriction that's there, so that one day you'll get the idea, why am I doing this? And even Jesus Christ, when Srila Prabhupada met a Christian, he would always preach to them only one thing. He didn't discuss with Christians philosophy. Why? Because in the Bhagavatam it says, this message of Godhead is so wonderful, it's so relishable, that anyone would be attracted to it, except for those who are killers of animals. So when Srila Prabhupada used to preach to Christians, he would only take one line of argument with them. If you are a follower of Christ, why you're not following what he said? And they said, yes, we follow. And Prabhupada would say, well, Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. And you're eating meat. So how are you following Jesus? So they would say, no, that means not kill any human being. And Srila Prabhupada would reply, Jesus was intelligent. If he meant not to kill any human being, he would have said, thou shalt not murder. But he said, thou shalt not kill. That means anything. And then they were stuck. Right? And nowadays, they've changed many Bibles. Instead, the commandment says, instead of thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. Just so they can continue with their meat eating. So, the point is that at least let them be religious. Let them acknowledge the existence of God and follow carefully whatever their religion is. Right? Then gradually they'll come to the position of understanding. Because religion means to develop love of God. Religion is not as an agreement with God that God should become our order supplier. Our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread. Right? God is not there just to solve our bread problem. There's no bread problem for the elephants. They eat 80 kilos a day, Prabhupada says, and they get, right? So, religion means to develop love of God. Prema Pumartha Mahan. So yes, the Gaudiya Sampradaya are teaching that the way of devotional service as enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis, that will take us to the highest level. But certainly people have to first of all just become pious. And if they profess to be a Christian, they should follow. And it's the duty of the government to see that they follow. If they profess to be Islam, they should follow that. And we're non-sectarian. We say, chant the holy name of God. Right? If you think that Krishna or Rama are sectarian names, then chant the name you know, according to scripture. Like for the Christians, it would be Jehovah. And for the Islam, it would be Allah. Chant the name of Allah. Chant the name of... They'll become purified to the point where they understand the most attractive name, Krishna. Gradual process. Okay? Yes?
Hari, just a comment. Once Srila Prabhupada told Harishauri Prabhu that I got a dream where I saw the planet where pious Muslims go. So, there is a planet where these pious Muslims go, so it is there.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. My question was, when we talk of Varnashrama Dharma in the current context, what is the vision and the idea that we have, that, you know, kings will be reinstated, and you know, going back to the golden age, or in the modern context it has a different connotation?
Well, the ideas, far as I understand it from Srila Prabhupada, is that in order to organize society so they come to the platform of at least being human beings, we need Varnashram Dharma, right? But ultimately we want people to chant Hare Krishna and render devotional service and become pure devotees of Krishna. But everyone won't do that right away. So just so that society will be peaceful and on the platform of human beings, therefore we need to institute Varnashram Dharma. For devotees of the Lord, they're bravda. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, kipa vipa kipa nasi shudra kene nai ye Krishna tattva vete se guru hai. Devotees of the Lord, right? We don't see Brahmin devotee, Kshatriya devotee, Shudra devotee, we see devotees. But for the general populace, if they can be organized according to varnas and ashrams properly, then society will become very peaceful. And it will be easy for them to come to the next level of being devotees. That's the point. Otherwise people will just become more and more demoniac. And, you know, instead of becoming devotees, they'll eat the devotees. As Kali Yuga progresses and people become more animal-like, devotees will have to live in caves. Because if they come out of the caves, people will eat them. That's what Kali Yuga will become. So, it's for the structure of society. It's not an easy thing, and we're not exactly sure how to do it or how it will come about. That's kind of a quandary and a big discussion amongst many devotees, how to institute Varnashram. Bhakti Raghava Swami thinks he has an idea about how to do it. Let's see. But then, it's required if society is to be peaceful, at all peaceful. Any other questions?
One more follow-on point. I was just speaking to one devotee once, and he was also referring that in some places Prabhupada also says that we have progressed so much in this modern setup that reverting to Varnashrama is very difficult. And therefore, let's just chant Hare Krishna.
Well, we've advanced so much in this system, but this system is falling apart. This so-called modern society based on petrochemicals is finishing. If you don't have petrol to put in your Mercedes-Benz, what good is it? Zero. And the petrol is finishing. So the modern society based on oil is coming to an end. And those people who know how to grow their food, they will survive. And those who don't, they will perish. The time is coming. The time is coming. It's becoming increasingly expensive to take the oil from the ground. So even the material scientists are explaining that the time will come, not so far away, it will be more expensive to take oil out than it is to sell it. And then the production will stop. So they're trying to make some other fuel alternatives, but they haven't been successful yet. So society is going to change, definitely going to change. That's why Srila Prabhupada encouraged ISKCON members to be have self-sufficient farm communities. But we haven't been successful yet. I think the real success is, from what I see, is that in the villages, they could do it. Right? And there are some devotees that are helping villagers to solve some of the problems that they have so that they can do the traditional things that they used to do. There's a whole science of the villages had a whole science, village technology. But that's being lost. I'll give you an example. Down in Belgaum, in Gokuldam, they wanted to make oil in the traditional way with the gurney. The bull walks around the stone. Right? So they wanted to get one of these. But nobody would sell one. Some people had, but they wouldn't sell it. Because, you know, some 50, 60 years ago, when people were using electricity to make the oil, some of these gurneywalas, they sold off their stone, they fit in the ground, big huge stone thing. And those person that sold them, big catastrophes. Their children died, their animals died. So the rumor was that if you sell these, it's bad luck, so don't sell them. So they used to bury them in their yards, the gurneys, and not sell them. So when the devotees wanted to get one, they couldn't buy one. Because nobody would sell it. Right? So after some time, with a great effort, they finally got one of these stone gurneys. Right? And they wanted to make their own oil. But then nobody knew how to use it. Because for so long, people have been using electricity to grind the seeds to make oil. Nobody knew how to use the gurney, how to hook up the bull, and how to exactly do it. So they searched and they searched and they searched, and they found one old 95-year-old man who knew how to, you know, hook up the bull and get the seeds crushed in this stone apparatus. Right? So that's village technology, and like that, there's so many technologies of the village that are lost due to electricity, due to so many other influences. They're lost. Village technology is being lost. So in Belgaum, in Gokuldam, they're trying to revive these village technologies. How to make your own cement out of lime, chuna, and some other ingredients, and take the bull and walks around and crushes everything, and then you use that in between stones so that you can make a house. They're trying to revive some of these village technologies. But gradually things are being lost. And that's the nature of the Kali Yuga. Yes.
I just want to clear one thing. I just want to make clear myself, that is regarding Krishna consciousness. For the past 50 years, in India especially, there have been many spiritualists. They are giving speeches on Bhagavad Gita, but they are not focusing on Krishna consciousness. Why they are doing so? What may be the cause for this? There are many people who are supporting Bhagavad Gita, spiritualists I'm talking about, but they are not focusing on main point, that is Krishna consciousness.
Because they are, as Srila Prabhupada explains, they are impersonalist. They want to use the words of Krishna, but they don't want Krishna. They want Bhagavad Gita to propound their own philosophy. They want Bhagavad Gita minus Krishna. Right? Srila Prabhupada, just the opposite. He wants to give Krishna and the words of Krishna, knowing well who those words come from. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. Engage your mind in thinking of me, become my devotee. And what does Srila Prabhupada says? Engage your mind in thinking of Krishna, become Krishna's devotee. These rascals say, oh, you don't have to think of Krishna. You have to think of the unborn that's within you. What is this unborn within you? Nonsense. What you're talking? Rascal. They want to use the words of Krishna minus Krishna. You don't have to think of... Krishna says, think of me. And they say, you don't have to think of Krishna. Who is he? Rascal? Cheater? Cheating the people. And the people are easily cheated. They hear, the unborn within me. Oh, very big sadhu, the unborn within me. Wow. Cheat. Cheaters. Misleading the people. Taking the where away from Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada is bringing them to Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everything Krishna. That's the difference. They use Gita for their own purpose. If you want to make your philosophy, you write your own book. Why are you using Krishna's book? Right? Write your own philosophy. No, they want to use Krishna's words to make their own philosophy. If there ever was Krishna, one Bhagavad Gita starts. If there ever was anyone called Krishna, such a rascal, if there ever was someone called Krishna, he starts his Bhagavad Gita. So we don't accept these persons. We reject them. They're fools. Abhijantima mudha. They're mudhas. Ass-like persons. And we try to give the people the real essence, the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita.
Hare Krishna. This is to the comment of my friend, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
This is to the comment of the first question answer that Prabhuji was asking for that Christianity and Hindu. And Muslims, they do not do lots of crimes. This. So just I would like to say regarding this, that in Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna himself says there are different paths to worship me. Some take as Hindu, some take as Christianity, or some take as Muslims. But the pure devotees are the who come to the Krishna consciousness and who worship me. Sarva dharmam parityajaya, what Krishna says. Ki sarva dharmam parityajaya mama ekam charanam. Worship to me. And in Bible also it says, what Jesus says, ki Father forgive them, they do not know who I am. So Jesus is telling to the Father, who is this Father? The Father is Krishna ultimately. Because Krishna himself said, I am the Father, I am the seed giver, I am the everything. So I would like to say ki this is what Krishna consciousness is. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada said that we don't mind, we can have Jesus on the altar, we can make churches into temples, we'll keep Krishna on the altar and Jesus also. We can turn all the Christian churches into temples. We can worship Lord Krishna and simultaneously Jesus Christ.
That is what Jesus is also telling, Father, forgive them. So Jesus is also remembering that Father, that who is himself. Is
yeah, Krishna.
Krishna
says in the Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita, I am the seed-giving Father. And Jesus never claimed to be God. He said, I am the Son of God. And they asked him, he said, these teachings are not mine. They're his who I came from. So he always differentiated between himself and God.
That is right.
True followers of Jesus Christ, they won't eat meat, and they will understand that the real teachings of Jesus. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna. रशिया के अंदर एक आदमी ने भगवद गीता के ऊपर माने केश कर दिया गया और पूरी दुनिया के अंदर माने तहलका मच गया. तो मुझे ऐसा लगता है कि पूरी दुनिया के अंदर भगवद गीता के ऊपर काफी माने वो हो गया. तो ये मुझे ऐसा लगता है कि ये प्रभुपाद जी की अरेंजमेंट थी या कृष्ण भगवान की ये अरेंजमेंट था. मुझे ऐसा लगता है क्योंकि रिस्पॉन्स जो है उस विषय के ऊपर काफी काफी माने माने दुनिया के अंदर फैल गया. तो आपका क्या अभिप्राय है, क्या मंतव्य है, आप बताइए. आप अंग्रेजी में बोलिए मादानी.
वेल, whatever happens is by the arrangement of Krishna. Not even a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. So whatever happened in the Russian courts, that's also arranged by Krishna. There's always two types of persons. Those who are in favor of God and those who are not in favor of God. You know, it's an interesting thing that in the 1930s, Stalin was the Russian premier, right? And Stalin arrested 150,000 Russian Orthodox priests. And he later on declared them as traitors. And he executed 95,000 Russian Orthodox priests. He had them killed. And then they appointed communists to be in charge of the church. Right? So anyone who believed really in God, he killed them off and put communists in charge of the church. So we can see that there's that demoniac element is still there, and that's why they're not in favor of the devotees and Bhagavad Gita, because there's always two types of persons. But certainly in this recent incident, Bhagavad Gita Srila Prabhupada ISKCON got a lot of free publicity in the newspapers. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes they would bring him articles and they would read the article. It wasn't favorable, but Prabhupada would see it favorable. He said, look, they mentioned Krishna so many times in the article. So he didn't see any problem with it at all. So in this way, there were so many articles. They mentioned Prabhupada's name. They mentioned the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. They mentioned Krishna, devotees. So, like I said, we got a lot of free publicity for Krishna. So in that sense, I agree with you. Probably it was Krishna's arrangement. Definitely. All right. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.